This morning, aren't you glad for the rock? Amen. When all else fails, we can always go to Jesus. Hopefully we go to Jesus before everything else fails. And man, what a Savior we serve. So awesome this morning. And we can always, always count on Him. And so, last week we shared with you in regard to our fall evangelism focus, and of course, in talking about prayer, care, share, empower. And we challenged you last week to demonstrate to someone this past week that you cared. And so we hope that you did that. You did that, right? You don't have to raise your hand, but you did that, right? I hope that you did. And if you didn't last week, well, then you should this week. In fact, you probably should do that this week and next week and the week after that. That's the concept. Not only are we going to pray for those individuals, but we're going to demonstrate to them that we care. And that we also that we want to share with them. And so we want to keep that in front of you and reminding you. And so we need to be touching the lives of others. And we hope that you're doing that. Well, we're going to begin a new sermon series with you this week and over the next several weeks. And we're going to be talking about the radical teachings of Jesus. And believe it or not, as we think about some of the things that we're going to be discussing over the next few weeks, in Jesus' day, they were considered very radical. If you did not know, sometimes He has a different opinion than we do. And so we're going to see some of those this morning. And so as believers, we think different, speak different, process different, react different. In fact, we live different than the rest of the world. Or at least we're supposed to. It's not that we're better than anyone else, because we are not, and we'll see that in what Jesus shares with us today. It's just that we're sinners saved by grace. Because of that, we are. We're just different. And there's nothing wrong, I do want to remind you this morning, there's nothing wrong with being different. It's okay. And if we're Christians, we're believers in Christ, we're going to be different. Or at least we should be. And so we might wonder, where does that come from, this concept of the fact that we think different and speak different and process different and react different and live different? Where does that come from? It comes from the teachings of Jesus. If you haven't noticed by now, God does not think or act like the world does. His ways are not humanity's ways, not our ways. He does things differently. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to consider some of the radical teachings of Jesus, starting with, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. What a perplexing statement we're going to consider this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope that you do, let's take our Bibles and let's turn over to Matthew chapter 20 this morning. Matthew chapter 20, and appreciate if you would stand this morning for the reading of the Word. Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to look down to verse 16. Just one verse this morning. Jesus makes this powerful statement, and we hope those of you at home that are watching with us this morning that have got your Bible and following along with us. Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. And Jesus shares with us, "So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen." Join us in a word of prayer this morning. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to You, we are so thankful that we have the opportunity to gather together and to be able to worship You. And so we ask this morning that You would continue, Lord, to have Your hand upon this service, that You would come and that You would stir our heart and mind. And Lord, as we come to Your Word, that Your Word would find lodging in our heart. And today we would be challenged and encouraged. And Lord, that You would, through Your Word, would do a deep work in our life, and that we as believers would understand the teachings of Jesus and recognize this morning, Lord, that You do things differently. And so, Lord, for that to happen, we need the work of the Holy Spirit to come and move upon us. And so, Lord, we just ask that You would do that very thing this morning. In fact, we ask that You would allow us to come under the anointing of the Spirit for the preaching of the Word. We just desire to be a vessel, Lord, this morning, to be used of You to share Your Word with Your people. We pray for your will and your way, for we ask in your name, and amen. You may be seated this morning. Jesus shares this unique perspective. Startling to some, and maybe even to us today. He says, the last will be first, and the first last. You almost take a step back and say, what? How can that be? How can the last be first and the first be last? There's something wrong with that statement. Many of us might even ponder today, what does that really mean? In fact, I've had some people ask me that. What does that really mean? And so hopefully today in the Word, we're going to understand exactly what it is that Jesus is talking about. But remember, He doesn't think like the world thinks. And so that becomes very important this morning, to understanding this comment that the last will be first. And so for us to understand that this morning, there's a couple things I want to share with you. One of them being what the world teaches, and then what Jesus teaches, and then what that means to us. And so we're going to begin this morning to try to understand this statement from Jesus as He teaches about the last will be first, and the first will be last. And so what does the world teach? Well, the world was saying in Jesus' time, in the New Testament era, that being first meant having power and control. And so for the people of His day, those people that were first, ahead of everybody else, the people that were looked to as somebody, they had power and control. Such as maybe being part of the ruling Roman family. If you was part of the leader of the Roman family that was in Jerusalem or any of the other areas, you were considered to be a person of power, and therefore you would come first. You were more important than anybody else. Or maybe you were part of the Roman military or their family, and so you was considered to be somebody. And so you would be considered to be more important than this person or that person. And so you would be considered to be first in whatever it was. First in line, first for this, first for that, more important than this person, more important than that person. Whatever was happening, they were at the front of the line because of their position and their power. Or maybe in that day you was the oldest male child. That was very important in that day because the oldest male child was the heir to his father's possessions. And because he was the heir of his father's possessions, that simply meant everything that his father owned would become his. And so he became a person of importance because of possessions. And in that day, it was very important if you possessed a piece of property. It was considered to be of great stature to own something, especially land. And so whatever the father had would go to the eldest son. And so he was considered to be an important person, somebody of power and stature. And so he then would be first, front of the line. When something was happening, he would be prominent. He would be first. Or maybe even a Jewish religious leader. One with authority to set rules over others. They were considered to be important because of their position and their status. And therefore they would be first. First to receive. First to be told, first this, first that, because they were important people. They were people of power and control. So in Jesus' day, in the New Testament era, to be first, you had to be a somebody. A somebody meaning that you had power and status and influence. Somebody that was in a position or had great possessions to be first. Truth is, that hasn't changed much in our day. People who think they should be at the front or first for this and first for that is still people that often have status in their job. Maybe they're a CEO or a vice president or a department manager. Feel that they're better than others because of their position. We often place people who that are immensely successful on a pedestal and we lift them up and think of them as the successful, the people who come first. The wealthy often are looked at as somebodies. People who come first get all the attention. Maybe those people with social status, actors and actresses, who think they have authority or a voice to be shared and the rest of us should listen, often viewed as people who come first. And anyone with authority in our day are viewed as important people. So even in our world today, our world still teaches that if you're first, you still must be a somebody. And so the world will tell us over and over and over again, the people who come before everybody else are those people who are referred to as somebody. Position, power, wealth, status, whatever that is, those are the important people, and they should always be at the front of the line. That's what the world teaches. In Jesus' day, in our day, it still teaches that those at the front are those that are in power and control, status, wealth, and possession. But yet Jesus says, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Now with that understanding and that teaching, that statement would be an extreme slap in the face. Because those people would believe that they deserve to be in that position and deserve to be at the front of the line. We've considered for a moment the teaching of the world. I'd like for us this morning to consider Jesus' radical teaching on the subject of who is first and who is last. What Jesus teaches is completely different from the world. In fact, life in His kingdom operates upside down from what the world teaches or even we might expect today. Jesus says, as you know, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Totally different, totally opposite, totally upside down from what the world teaches. Status and high-ranking positions are not the key to finishing first in God's kingdom. It's about something far greater. Now, of course, the world would say, what's far greater than wealth and position and status and possession? Oh, there's things far greater than all of those in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus shares a story in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16 to help others understand His teaching when He talks about the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And so I want to share this with you this morning. And we find it in Matthew chapter 20 and it shares this with us. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed, world's teaching, that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. It is not lawful for me to do what I wish. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. Many are called, but few are chosen. And so Jesus shares this story to illustrate this concept of the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And so he shares with them in regard to a landowner who hired workers at 9 a.m., at noon, at 3 p.m., and just before sunset. At the end of the day, we understand the landowner paid them all the same amount. Now in our minds, you can see what's going to happen here. Why? Because of what the world teaches. The landowner, and he shared with them, when those who were hired first complained that those came later got the same amount as they did. The landowner reminded them that they had agreed to their wages, so they had no right to say anything or that they had been treated unfairly. Beyond that agreement, he had the right to be as generous to the latecomers as he liked. Many of us this morning might be able to relate to this story simply because of what the world teaches us. Jesus ended the story simply by saying, so the last shall be first, and the first last. We understand in the story that there was some individuals who were not very happy with this scenario. Truth might be today, if we were in their shoes, we may not have been very happy either. Grace. Get this. Grace, not firstness, is the rule in Jesus' kingdom. Grace. Not firstness is the rule in Jesus' kingdom. And so we have two teachings this morning. The world's teaching and Jesus' teaching. Two very different perspectives. And so this morning I wanted to note this in regard to Jesus' teaching. Being first in the kingdom of God is not, underline this if you're taking notes this morning, is not about power and position, but about God's grace and our humility. This is exactly what the last shall be first and the first shall be last is all about. Being first in the kingdom of God is not about power and position, but about God's grace and our humility. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 shares with us, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Our firstness never comes from power and position. Grace is God's favor that we do not deserve. Grace is God's favor that we do not deserve. The individuals in our story today felt they deserved something. There might be times in our life where we feel like we deserve. Don't you hate when it gets close to home? Deserve something. It's not about how hard or long we work, but about God's generosity towards us. Now, don't misunderstand me this morning, and don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying. This topic is not about work ethic. It's not about if we do a good job or not. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is what people think they deserve instead of what we really deserve. The confusion is on the part because I'm this and because I've done that and I've been here and I've accomplished this and I've got this before my name and I live in this community and I drive this car and I went to this school because of that. I'm deserving. And Jesus says, no. You'll be last. And the others will be first. It's about grace. The Christian life is not about who gets more honor or who looks the best on the outside. You have to pause and ponder that statement for a moment. The Christian life is not about who gets more honor or who looks the best on the outside. Truth is, God grants everyone the right to become children of God. No matter their status, if they have power or control or position, no matter where they're at, no matter what's going on in their life, if they're a somebody or not a somebody, it's about grace. God grants everyone the right to become children of God. In fact, John chapter 1, verse 12 shares with us, "But as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." We all have the right, not just those who are considered to be somebody. We've considered the world's teaching, Jesus' teaching, and some things we should understand that separate the two. And because we're looking at the radical teachings of Jesus, I also want us to consider the fact this morning that we should be living radically. Now that doesn't mean this morning that you're a rebel. So how do we live radically? And I want you to encourage you today to live radically. This really is, what does this mean for us? Jesus teaches this powerful teaching that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. What does that really mean for us? Well, if we accept that teaching, we begin to live radically. And so if I ask you to live radically, how do we do that? We do that by accepting the teachings of Jesus. Not just this one, but several that we're going to be sharing with you. Because it's completely different from the way the world does things. And so we live radically by accepting the teachings of Jesus, not just by hearing them and agreeing, but by doing them. Living this way. For instance, like the first workers hired, have you ever resented God's grace and generosity to someone who you thought did not deserve it? Yes, that pause is intentional. As believers, followers of Christ, have we ever been resentful of God's grace and generosity to somebody else? It may come out like this. I don't understand. I work hard all week. I do this. I go to church every Sunday, but yet they're blessed. How does that happen? And sometimes we might say, they don't even go to church. They live horribly. They're evil people. How do they have so much? Maybe we've been there. Maybe we haven't. But I want to remind you today, it's about grace. But make no mistake, at some point, you're on the other end. You're the one receiving God's grace. And somebody is saying, well, why do they deserve that? The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. It's about grace. It's not about what we deserve. That's what Jesus was talking about. It's about grace. It's not about what we deserve. It's about grace. I wonder, have we ever made the statement, I was here first? Don't you hate going to the DMV? Oh, that's so frustrating. Or maybe you sit in the ER at some point, and you sit there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then somebody comes flying in the door, and they take them back, and you're going, oh, I've been here 2 hours! Oh my. Or maybe you're in the grocery line at Walmart. Never go on Black Friday. Not a good idea. I've told you that story. We're not sharing that story again, But you stand in line, you stand in line. They only have two registers open. It's Walmart. And you're standing in line. You've been there longer than you thought you should have been. And they open a cash register right next to you and they say, we can help the next. And all the people behind you are in the register. And you've already been there for 45 minutes. It's about grace. About grace. Scripture shares with us, people often look on the outward appearance and current circumstances. And we make our decision on who should be first and who shouldn't. Thankfully, God looks at the heart and His plan for every individual and makes the decision who should be first and who should be last. It's grace. Living radically for Jesus is not about being first, but about grace and humility. In fact, the disciples had this argument of who will be first or the most important in the kingdom, who will sit at the right hand, the left hand. Jesus always has some powerful ways of doing things. So if you want to be great in the kingdom, you become a child. That goes against everything the world teaches. Because to be somebody and to be first, you have to have power and position. Possession, in control, have authority. A child has one thing. That's dependence. Reliance. Grace. Greatness in the kingdom, firstness in the kingdom is about grace and humility. You might say, Pastor, how do we apply this to our life? How do we live radically? It's okay to let someone go ahead of you. It's okay. It's okay not to have what everyone else has. You can say, amen, Pastor, that's good preaching. That's okay. Because I've come to understand the more stuff you have, the more stuff you have to worry about. And the more it costs you, because you have to rent a storage unit. Firstness, honestly, is not everything it's cracked up to be. I don't know about you, but I'd rather experience the grace of Jesus Christ in my life than firstness in this world. It's okay for others to have more, do more, because it's always about grace. So the next time we find ourselves in that scenario, well, I was here first. Remember, it's about grace. It's about grace. And just so we're clear, there's nobody any more important than anybody else. He loves us all. He cares for us all. We all have the opportunity to be children of God. It's about grace. I wonder today, will we as believers live radically? Will we think different, process different, react different, talk different, live different? Recognize we don't always have to be first. But sometimes it's powerful to be last. In fact, I encourage you this week when you go to the grocery store or Walmart and you're in one of the two lines, let somebody go ahead of you. Let somebody go ahead of you. And when they ask, well, why? Simply just say, it's about grace. Ooh, wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. It's about grace. So will we, as believers, live radically? Or in other words, will we live like Jesus teaches? We can say, yeah, I'm going to live radically. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I hear that. Why? Jesus, powerful teaching. It's really about application in our life. Will we live out Jesus' teaching? Will we share grace and humility to others? Let's stand together this morning. I want to ask Lana if you would come and just play on the piano, and Brian, if you would come. As they share with us this morning, I wonder if we would just today commit to live out the teachings of Jesus. And we would say in our heart and mind, Lord, I want to hear your teachings. I want to understand what you have to say to me, and I want to live that way. You might be wondering and saying, Pastor, why is it so important that we live that way? Because when we live like that, we touch the lives of others. When we live like that, we touch the lives of others. I can assure you this morning, if we're last in this world, we'll be first in the kingdom of God. Will we take a few moments this morning and just say, Lord, I commit to you today. I'm going to live out the teachings of Christ in my life. Maybe you're here this morning and say, you know what, I've been that person in the Walmart line. I've been that person at the BMV. I've been that person on the road that somebody cut off and just turned two blocks down the road. And I didn't think about grace. Instead of praying for them, I felt I deserve this or that. Maybe that's one of us today. Maybe it's not. But if it is, maybe we need to find a place in an altar and say, Lord, help me to understand it's always about grace. It's not about who I am or what I deserve, but it's about grace. Maybe we'd want to step out to an altar of prayer. Maybe this morning we just want to be honest and say, Lord, boy, I need help. Because we're bombarded by the teachings of the world every day of our life. The world says do this, but we know the Lord says do that. Maybe today we just need strength and encouragement. Whatever it is, we know the Lord can provide. And maybe you're here today and you've never experienced the grace of Jesus Christ in your life. Maybe today's the day you need to begin to live for Christ. We're just going to tarry a few minutes. As the Lord speaks to us. As we pray this morning, would you commit to the Lord to live out the teachings of Jesus in your life? Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we are so thankful for your teachings. Especially about grace and the fact that those who are last in this world be first in your kingdom. And Lord, I ask this morning that we be people of grace. And we'd recognize it's not about who we are or where we've been or what we've done or what we might have gathered in this world. But it's about you and your grace being demonstrated in our lives. Help us today, Lord, just to commit to you. To say, I am going to live out the teachings of Jesus in my life. I'm going to live radically. Help us, Lord, to commit to you. So, Lord, I just pray that you would move and work this morning. Empower us, Lord, to live radically. We ask in your precious name this morning. And amen. I encourage you this week to live radically, to live out the teachings of Jesus. And so when that person cuts you off, pray for them.